Soul to soul, spirit to spirit, greetings of love from the island of Kauai. I think one of the most revealing passages in Scripture is the statement made by John the Baptist when he first sees Jesus Christ. Here it is. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven, like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The dove of spirit is going to play a similar role in your experience. Very wisely, the dove is placed at the beginning of the Gospel of John, and its purpose is to explain the true nature of your own eternal self. Until the dove of spirit descends, you and I remain a finite human being under world hypnosis. Separated mortal beings living on the wheel of death and reincarnation. But when the dove descends in you, the hypnosis is broken. That dove of spirit signifies your realization of I am. Not a personal, individual, finite I am, but your realization of the infinite I am. And that includes the knowledge that I am not in this form. I am divine spirit. I am not human flesh. I never live inside form. I am independent of time and space. I am the I am that has already overcome this world. I am life without beginning, without end. The full realization in you of I am is the descent of the dove. Now let us move over to the crucifixion at Golgotha. 3 years have passed since John the Baptist witnessed the descent of the dove in Jesus. Now Jesus and two thieves are about to be crucified. A hush draws over the throng. And suddenly, before the victims are nailed to a tree, an armada of nuclear missiles roars into view and bursts upon Golgotha, shattering everything and everyone in sight. Who survived? We all have the answer already, don't we? Only the dove of spirit survives. Only the living Christ survives. The same Christ who survived crucifixion in the Holy Land is the only one today who can survive a mass attack of nuclear missiles. And what is the name of Christ, the survivor? I am. Only the I am of you, the Christ, not confined inside form, can survive a nuclear holocaust. Because the I am of you is eternal spirit, indestructible, inseparable from God, and always living under perfect God government. Now, with that knowledge, let us step into the 20th century. Recently, Great Britain and Libya stood eyeball to eyeball. It seems that from inside the Libyan embassy in London, a terrorist shot and killed a British policewoman who was patrolling outside the embassy. And as I recall the moment, and you recall the moment, tension mounted immediately. And in that mounting tension, only one thing prevented Colonel Gaddafi from launching a nuclear missile at London. He didn't have one. If he had one, we might not be sitting here today talking. Are you aware that an H-bomb is now being constructed in West Berlin and will be delivered in 1986 to the Ayatollah in Iran? What will happen in our world when he launches that H-bomb on Iraq? Will this be the beginning of a nuclear war? Will it proliferate? Will it become a free-for-all between the superpowers? Or will there be something happening among the Saudi Arabians? Will there be something happening between Israel and Syria? What spot on this globe will be the source of this mass war, using nuclear missiles that snuff life out instantly? And more important, who will survive? We all know the survivor of a nuclear war, and the survivor can only be I am. And you had better be I am if you wish to survive. Now, it may shock you, but there is no human being on this earth who can solve the nuclear crisis. And there is no human being on earth who has the capacity to survive. The truth, unknown to most religions in our world, is that Christ accepted crucifixion to teach mankind that when death strikes in any form, as nuclear missiles, crucifixion, or cancer, the only survivor is Christ I am. And so please make this one fact your guiding principle. Only Christ I am can survive a nuclear war. Today in this class, we have an unusual purpose. We want to look at nuclear power with spiritual eyes. Materially, the evidence is overwhelming. Nuclear war is inevitable. There's too much lust for power, too much hate, too much fear and insecurity in our world for us to bury our heads in the sand and pretend that it will not happen. Unfortunately, the material mind of man cannot meet this challenge. But you and I, and all students of the infinite way, are prepared to live and to demonstrate the Christ principles to which we have dedicated our lives. We are not helpless. We are not impotent victims of universal insanity. We refuse to leave our children a legacy of nuclear war and the horrors of nuclear death. We refuse to abort future generations before they are born. Our Heavenly Father has told us, take no thought for your life. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And through the Gospels, we have witnessed that one with God is a majority. Now we are ready to see this nuclear nightmare with a mind that was in Christ Jesus. We are ready to uplift the consciousness of the world until the nuclear crisis is nothing more than a passing dream. It is our function as disciples of Christ to break the backbone of the nuclear threat. To release every nation from the hypnosis of nuclear attack. And to manifest on this earth the peace that passeth understanding. And the big question is how? How shall we accomplish this seemingly utopian goal? Well, first by learning from past mistakes, by facing the truth
that 4,000 years of Buddhism,
Hinduism, and Judaism, 2,500 years of Confucianism, 2,000 years of Christianity, and 1,500 years of Islam have brought mankind to the brink of disaster. And that is the truth. By realizing that organized dogma is not religion, it is atheism on a global scale, and that government by man is not government by God. We must recognize that in spite of all religions on earth, our planet has been converted into a global incinerator, which now threatens to cremate the human race into radioactive ashes. Why do we have these missiles in the first place? Perhaps the reasons are not as simple as they appear to be. Of course, we want missiles to defend our country, our property, our people. And we put that under the heading of national defense. We also know that thousands of high-powered missiles give us bargaining power when we go to the negotiating tables. But these are only surface. These are the reasons that seem the most obvious. There are other reasons. From birth, we have been trained to believe in two powers. Power of good, the power of evil. And in this duality, we constantly violate divine law. We do not love God supremely or trust God supremely. We believe in two creators. One creator has good powers, and the other creator has evil powers. And from this dichotomy, we expand into a pyramid of errors. We deny that we are spirit, son of God. We disobey Bible warnings and Bible teachings. We sow to the flesh. We live in dying bodies of flesh. We live in our own mental recreation of creation. We remain in this mortal sense of self, trying to keep it comfortable, secure. We live in the death universe, not in the eternal life universe, and we don't know the difference. We believe that we are separated from God power. We believe that Christ is tomorrow. We crucify Christ daily by knowing the presence of Christ as being up there or around the corner or in the future, and by ignoring that presence within. And we also have missiles because we actually are floating corks in time. We live in yesterday. We live in the past because we cannot find the now. We have missiles because we want to kill more effectively. And that is the truth we hate to admit. We pretend that we build missiles only to defend. But we fool no one. The 50,000 missiles already in this world will not all be used for defense. In the hands of psychopaths, demagogues, egomaniacs, politically minded leaders, missiles that are planned for defense can quickly be turned into weapons of aggression, weapons of intimidation, weapons of destruction. The belief exists in many quarters that the A-bombs dropped on Japan by the United States were released unnecessarily, that Japan already was defeated, and the ulterior motive of the attacks was to inform the world, especially our potential enemies, that we had the most powerful weapon in history. The point is this: no matter how God-loving, compassionate, and honorable we may claim to be, under critical pressure, when it suits our purpose or the purpose of other nations, most leaders in this world will use nuclear weapons to kill and then issue self-serving statements that they were justified in violating God's commandment that thou shalt not kill. I think there are three major proposals by government to reduce or to eliminate the risk of nuclear warfare. Number one, a nuclear freeze. Number two, mass cutbacks. And number three, surrender of the plutonium trigger that ignites H-bombs. This is the sum and the substance of all human intelligence upon which mortal life hangs in the balance. And it is full of holes. Examine these plans closely, plans that determine whether you will live or die, and you can quickly see that all plans to avoid nuclear war contain two basic flaws. Flaws that guarantee their failure. The same human brains that got us into the nuclear mess think that they can get us out. That's the first flaw. And the second is that the top experts of all nations actually ignore God. They ignore the one creator. They ignore the source of all wisdom. And they place their hopes, their goals, their solutions within the limited human brain above any plan by the infinite creator. And so we must ask ourselves a question. Does God have a plan to save mankind from nuclear extinction? The answer, ignored by world leaders in religion, science, industry, and government, is yes. God has a plan. And God has already sent that plan to mankind by a very special messenger. A messenger who is closer to you than breathing. So if the possibility of nuclear war disturbs you, listen carefully to that divine messenger within you. And you will know what our world leaders have overlooked. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak, not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Because I live, you shall live also. I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, ye might believe. Yes, that is the plan of the Father. Christ in you says, I am the way. Now that means there is no other way. It means that we will not find solutions to the nuclear crisis in Washington, D.C., or in Moscow, or in Paris or London. You will not find a solution on the face of this earth like it or not. God has given mankind an option, and this is it: Christ or perish. Accept Christ I am as yourself and your only self, your eternal self, your now self, your divine self, your spiritual self, renouncing your human self, or perish in the self that you refuse to renounce. That's our option. This is the plan of God for you. Life eternal in Christhood, or the wheel of birth and death, until you accept I, Christ, as the only self you can ever be, the only way to the peace that passeth understanding. Let us pray together. I in you, I am the way. Come unto I, all ye ends of the earth, and I will lead you out of destruction. I will part the sea of missiles. I will still the storm. I will rebuke the winds. I will lead you untouched through the fiery furnace. I will deliver you safely to my Father's house. I within am the way. Deeper than your surface impressions of the world around you, deep in the sanctuary of your soul, I am. To find me, simply be still and let me find you. I come quickly in your stillness. I am the Holy One of Israel, the quickener, your new comforter. When I speak, the world melts. The fire does not consume you. The flood does not drown you. The prince of darkness comes and finds nothing in you. I walk with you across the water, across the waters of time, across the waters of space. And the burdens of fear and sorrow fall away from your shoulders, because I am the way. There is a secret place within where your humanhood no longer exists. Only God is there. And that secret place is I, your eternal identity. I am the only way to the treasures of the kingdom within. When the one infinite consciousness announces to mankind, I am the way, it reveals that there are no human solutions to the attainment of peace on earth. And man's inability to find this secret self within has made him seek for external solutions. Solomon, who may have written the 91st Psalm, knew that Christ, I am, is the Savior of mankind. He knew that before Jesus appeared on earth. Everywhere his words are quoted, but few realize that the secret place of the Most High is the infinite Christ, which is your own true being, and the divine self of all races, all creeds, and all nations. This is the missing link in our world today. We have 5 million separate selves instead of one undivided I am. I am the way is the beginning of knowledge. The I of you is not personal, not individual, but universal. When you accept the universal, undivided Christ as your identity and the identity of everyone who has ever walked this earth, you have found the secret place of the Most High. The omnipresent Christ, who is the self of mankind. And this truth makes you free of every false power known to man. The 14th chapter of John contains more power than the United States Navy, the Russian Navy, and the British Navy combined. It is the eternal plan of God, spoken by the universal Christ, who could not be destroyed by crucifixion, telling you and telling the world that the kingdom of God truly is within you, and that your real identity is the only way to that kingdom. There will be world leaders sitting at negotiating tables. Trying to prevent the extinction of the human race. But mark this, unless one, just one of those negotiators has found I, Christ, within, the crisis will intensify. Because that negotiation table will be controlled by the Antichrist world mind. And that's where you come in. That is one of the major purposes of this class. As Infinite Way students, we are given the power to open our souls to Christ within. That through our enlightened receptivity, Christ may enter the consciousness of world leaders who are groping for answers to present worldwide destruction. Our task is a glorious one. To walk in Christhood under divine protection. To feel the privilege of turning the affairs of this world over to the universal Christ. And to let divine love lift the veil of death from the lives of billions who are struggling blindly in the darkness of Antichrist despair. I, Christ, within you, am the way. Now look closely at Jesus standing there beside Pilate. Was that all of Jesus standing there? Look again, and in your spiritual eye, know that the universal Christ stood there. The universal Christ stood there. And the universal Christ then, as now, says to every Pilate, to every missile, thou couldst have no power over me. This is a principle, and let me show you how marvelously this principle works. Let us begin our meditation. Begin it with Christ, I am. Christ, I am, right here. But Christ is infinite. So, where does my Christhood stop? Nowhere. There is nowhere where I, Christ, am not. I cannot divide Christ into fractions. I, Christ, is whole. I, Christ, is everywhere. And it is I. Now stretch, I, Christ, back to the day when you were born. The one infinite Christ is the reality of the infant they call you. Just as Christ was and is the reality of the infant they call Jesus. Christ, the image and likeness of God, never was an infant. That was only the birth of a concept. And that concept grew and changed into adolescence and then maturity, and now appears as you. That's the concept. Christ never changes. I, Christ, am always the same. From birth to maturity, only the concept of you changed. But I, Christ, the real you, the only you, never changed. You remember when Paul said that to the Hebrews? Let me find it for you. It's in chapter 1, verse 11. Yes, here it is. They shall perish, says Paul, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old, as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. This is God's promise to his Son, I, Christ. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Count all those human years you thought you had lived. Each one of those years made you deny Christ, I am. From the moment all the way back to birth, you are the one unchanging Christ. So relax your brain a little now and let this truth form itself as your consciousness and let yourself rest in divine peace. Christ, infinite, I am. And now, from this city where you live, in your mind, draw a straight line to the city and to the house where you were born. If Christ is one, undivided self, what is between your Christ here and Christ there? Can miles separate the one Christ? Can cities separate Christ? Can geography separate Christ? Can time or space separate Christ? What are we learning? Grasp the enormity of being Christ everywhere. Go back now before human birth. Go back 4,000 years before this century. Because Christ says, before Abraham was, I am. But you are Christ. Can you accept that Christ then and now is the same Christ, the one Christ, and that the fullness of that Christ you are now? Yes. I can accept that, and I do. For it is I. And there is no other I than I, Christ. Do you remember Melchizedek? Never born, never dying. Why? Because he had realized his true identity as Christ, I am. The infinite Son. Remember Enoch? Remember him stepping out of this world? How could he do that? He had discovered that he was not a finite mortal. He withdrew from the concept that dies inside the illusion of time. Pilate, you can have no power over me because this man standing next to you is not the fullness of who I am. I am the Christ, everywhere alive. There's no tomb big enough to hold me. There's no substance that can contain me. There's no distance that can measure me. Measureless, timeless, ageless Christ, forever I am. And so we learn that neither time, space, nor form separates Christ from Christ. The only presence where you stand now is Christ. And that Christ is not confined to your body. Christ fills your room. Look around your room. Everywhere you are looking at yourself. The objects in your room are inside your consciousness. They are not outside. You are looking at ideas, not objects. All these ideas would be joined into one undivided, complete Christ if you could see into the invisible. As you become more conscious of Christ as self, the appearance of your room will subtly change. Objects will be replaced by other objects. People will be replaced. The more you respond to Christ's self, the more it expresses in every phase of your life. As you change from me in this room to Christ who fills the room, you are beginning a transformation from matter to spirit. Now, your Christhood does not stop at the four walls. If your body would walk into the next room, your Christhood would already be there. And you can ignore it. You can live outside Christ's law, or you can sow to Christ. You can sow to your Christ self, which fills every room in your house. Whether it's 3, 6, or 10 rooms. And world hypnosis will gradually release you from the prison in time. Christ is not separated from itself by walls, mountains, rivers. Your physical sense of body may be in the United States, but your Christ self is also in England. It fills every country. The Christ of you fills all of Russia right now, all of Cuba, all of India, China, Australia, and Canada. If you could stand now on the highest mountain and gaze for hundreds of miles in every direction, everywhere you would be looking at your own self, the invisible Christ, the infinite Son of God, appearing to your finite human senses as land, sky, and water, in a variety of material forms. All visible manifestation on this planet is your concept of your own invisible self, which is the eye of your being, the one Christ without beginning and without end. I am the way. These four words contain the infinite universe. Your Christhood is the only inhabitant of this universe. Until you practice this truth in consciousness, you will continue to experience the illusions of the world mind, which veil us from the harmony and the treasures of the Christ kingdom. There have been many students who have demonstrated a degree of control over world mind illusions. Some in the field of health, in the field of weather, supply, self-fulfillment. Always, failure comes from the belief that there is a material universe out there containing almost 5 billion people. Now let me illustrate. What stands between Africa and you? The answer is nothing, absolutely nothing. The Christ of you fills all Africa and fills all the space between Africa and you. What about the natives of Africa? There are no natives in Africa. The one Christ is the self of each native. The one Christ is also the self of you. What stands between Christ and Christ? Only Christ, undivided. What stands between yesterday and today? Christ is yesterday. Christ is today. What stands between Christ and Christ? Time is exposed as an illusion when you realize your one infinite Christ self in the seeming past, present, and future. Distance, too, loses its deception when you know that one Christ fills all geography. Do you hear that miracle? Now back to the flood, the blizzard, the storm, the tornado. Usually we strive to bring God power into play to eliminate these eruptions in our environment, right? Me sits in a chair, and with eyes closed, me is aware of a great big storm, a tornado, a flood, or a volcano out there. And me grimly strives to attract the power of God to this stricken area. We all do it. And if we can go no further than that in our meditation, it would be better to stop the meditation and begin again from the realized conviction that Christ and only Christ is the self of mankind, where you sit and also where the disaster appears to be. Christ is the only self. Let's run through it. Let's take a drought or a flood threatening the farmer's crop. What do we do? Number one, go direct to Christ. Christ I am, here, there, everywhere. Always, that's number one. Christ fills this room. Christ fills this entire threatened area. And then wait. Wait to feel the one Christ presence. It's only the first step. Number two, because Christ is everywhere, and only Christ fills all space and time, the drought or flood is not there. Christ is there. When Christ within is real to you, Christ will manifest out there as peace, serenity, the end of the problem. Why? Because I am the way. Because the universal I Christ is the resurrection. So what have we done here? We have incorporated many infinite way principles into our now consciousness. We impersonalized when we accepted no people present, only Christ. Only the one universal Christ everywhere. And we nothingized the disturbance when we knew that Christ is the only presence, no matter what appears, and in Christ there can be no conditions. He shall know the truth. No persons, no conditions. One universal Christ appearing to human sense as this world and its conditions. And finally, remove the last me. Remove me. Impersonalize yourself. Here stands no person. The universal Christ alone stands here. Its name is I. And its presence makes this holy ground. When I am Christ here and Christ there, I am in the secret place. I am the universal I, the universal self, and in this I there is no darkness, only the pure light of God. This is how we're going to learn to meet the nuclear missile crisis. Our work now and through the October seminar is to develop the universal I consciousness which produces the freedom that flows when you follow, I am the way. Every ascended master once passed through the same tests and learning processes to which we are being exposed now. Always the choice is Christ or extinction. Just as you must replace all visible persons with the one infinite invisible Christ, so all material forms, organic or inorganic, ugly or beautiful, healthy or diseased, good or evil, and without exception, must be recognized instantly as a denial of the one Christ presence everywhere. You have to work at that. This unceasing practice enabled every ascended master to break the law of karma, which only exists in the material consciousness of man. So if you have a competitor, you are rejecting the divine truth that I, Christ, am the only identity. If you are a religion, refusing to ordain women as ministers, you are denying that I, Christ, am the identity of all. If you love one group of people and hate another, you are unaware that Christ omnipresent is the one universal self, and you are violating God's will expressed in his statement through Christ that I, universal Christ, am the way. Death does not always leave a corpse. When new birth comes, there is no one there to recognize death, no consciousness to receive the death experience. After illumination, there are never any corpses. For the living, there is no deadness anywhere, except those who are dead to Christ. I think the Greeks gave us a wonderful phrase when they said, know thyself. Today, for doers who are ready for the great deeds, perhaps that phrase could change to be thyself. This world is going to continue to challenge you. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Science will tell us about the nuclear horrors of starvation, homeless millions without hospitals or medical aid. We will hear about the extermination of half the human race. There will be revolutions and counter-revolutions across the globe. Blocks of nations lined up against blocks of nations. You can drink it all in with fear and commiseration, the human way. Or you can face this seeming world chaos and dissolve it with only one weapon. One weapon. Be yourself.